This is a, I think, a very nice schmooze, especially for the Evel. There's only one problem with the schmooze, is that it looks so good that I suspect I said it once before, and I have no recollection when. So, if I said it last year, for all I know, I could say, it could be I said it 10 years ago. But I want to say two, even if I said it last year, I want to add another half. So, I apologize. If the half you heard already, I don't remember. But we'd like to add another half anyway. The Rashi says like this. Now, I want to try and make two different shmuz on this Rashi. Rashi quotes a Medrash Agada, which means that if we were really saying the shmuz for outside the yeshiva, we would never quote Rashi, because it doesn't sound impressive. We would quote, go straight to the Medrash. Says the Medrash Agada says, Lama nisma parashas atin nisavim neklodas. Why is the connection, right? I don't know the fancy English word. But why is Parshas Nesavim written right after the end of Kisavo, which discussed the Kladas? The Fishashama Yisrael Mea Kladas Chosashtayim, because in Kisavo, Klai Yisrael heard 98 Kladas. Chutz Mimentet Vishari Shiva Taras Kohanim. They already heard 49 in Taras Kohanim. Horiko Bineim. So they became, their faces turned green, whatever, an expression. Va'amru. Miyuchal Lamo Be'edu. Who can, it's impossible. So Hizko Moshe to fight him. So Moshe here in Aptim Nitzavim is coming to appease him. Aptim Nitzavayom, Harbe Hichasim, the Mokom, the Osetchem Kliyod. Listen, you divide the Averis and you didn't get punished so much. You're still around. Ratem Kayom in the Fanav. So that's the Rashi. In other words, the reason why Aptim Nitzavim comes after Kisavo is that Moshe is saying, hey, don't take those clothes so seriously, whatever, don't get too excited, don't get so nervous. No, look, you did plenty of Averis, and you're still around. So you see? So the problem is, the blatant problem is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the clothes. The purpose of the clothes were to scare Klal Yisrael. That was the purpose. Otherwise, what'd you give it? That was the whole purpose. There was a whole dramatical effect. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Bedavka, had them go to Hargrizim, Har Evo, give the Klodas, whatever it is, Bedavka, so that Klal Yisrael will be afraid. And we know fear in Yiras Shemayim is very, very important. Yiras Shemayim is what keeps people in line not to do Averitz. Yiras Shemayim, everyone talks Yiras Shemayim, such an important thing, it's the most important thing. And that's the whole purpose of the Kladis. The Kladis is to give Yiras Shemayim. So now, and we have Midrashim about that, about how the Kladis, their Midrash says that how Kisavo, the whole Torah is based on Kisavo, the Midrash there, that because the Kisavo creates the Yiras Shemayim. So here, Klal Yisrael would come to Moshe, and they said that their faces are green. They miyochol amaveda. If I was Moshe Rabbeinu, I would say, great, you got the message. That's right. You better make sure you behave. You do one avera, bang, you're finished. That would be terrific, right? That's Yiras Shemayim. That's what we want. Here, what does Moshe do? Klal Yisrael really got scared. Hashem did a good job. He gave the clothes. Bnei Yisrael really got scared, and then Moshe comes to appease. Listen, come on, let's think it over. Think of all the averes you did, right? Harbe hichasim makom. You did lots of averes. What happened? Okay, you're still around. You still, I mean, you got punished, but you didn't get destroyed. You know, but also the fam clear. You know, there were punishments. There were people got killed, individuals. But these is a tzibur. We're still around. What's Moshe doing? He's trying to remove the Yiras Shemayim. So what you see here, a very, very important yisayin, and this is something that the Reshiva used to stress all the time, that everything taken to an extreme is not healthy. And too much Yiras Shemayim is also not healthy. Because when a person feels that it's hopeless, and I'm no matter what I do, it's too hard. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is too medactic, and the din, and I'm guaranteed to slip up somewhere. And what's the point? You know, I'll never be a tzaddik anyway, and I try hard, and I still do averis. My davening still no good. My learning still not perfect. I still speak lashon hara once in a while. I still have hiruim rum. I do this. So then, forget it. It's hopeless. I just can't do it. So when you have too much yiras shamayim, that's when people end up quitting. They get depressed and they quit. And then they say, forget the whole thing. It's not, you know, I'm gonna die anyway, so to speak, ruchnia, so I might as well not even try. It's not too much. There's everything. Obviously, Yiras Shamayim is important. Yiras Shamayim is the ikar of Yiddishkeit. But it has to be with a balance. And it has to be balanced out with a hargosha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about us, and he's a Melech Rachum and Chanun, and you do a little tshuva, Hashem will accept it, and you did plenty of averis, and Hashem accepted your tshuva in the past, and you did averis, and Rav Huttner, that's how, has this letter of a person who wrote him that he was all depressed, and Rav Huttner wrote him back, you wrote, because the person was all depressed because he was doing so many averis. And Rav Huttner wrote him back, you're depressed that I read your letter, and instead of being depressed, I was happy. He says, you're complaining that you did averis. He says, I guarantee you, I promise you, you're going to do more averis. But, he says, you're going to lose the battle and win the war. It's not about losing battles. So you lose a few battles. It's about winning the war. Since I can see from your sincerity that eventually you're going to win. And that has to be the attitude. The attitude has to be that, yes, every aveir is terrible, but at the same time, we can't be destroyed because we do aveiris. We did plenty of aveiris in the past and we're still here. So don't get, if the Yiras Shamayim will destroy you over you did aveiris, then it's hopeless. That is a tremendous balance. This is very important. Reshiva used to always say that tshuva has to lead to, Rosh Hashanah has to lead to simcha. Person comes to Yom HaNorah, you don't get depressed, you get happy. It's an opportunity to improve. It's an opportunity to get half tshuva, three quarters tshuva. You know, we believe whatever, Hashem gives partial credit, and there's partial tshuva. That's a great thing. They get a half a tshuva, you know. You know, so I have to walk around in depressed that, oy vey, it's Rosh Hashanah, and I'm going to get clobbered over my head. There should be yira. Rav Yisrael wrote that people did have yira in Edel. But it's what the Reshiva used to talk about, a very hard concept of gido birada, that there's simcha mixed into the yira. It's a simultaneously. Anyway, that's what you see from this Rashi. It's a very fascinating thing that too much Yiras Shamayim can be unhealthy. It can cause people to quit, and it has to be balanced. Obviously, too little Yiras Shamayim is also no good. That's why they gave the klodos. The klodos were given to make Yiras Shamayim. So you need both. You have to give the klodos to make the Yiras Shamayim. As you can ask the kashi the other way, if Yiras Shamayim is no good, so why did Kosh Baruch Hu give the klodos? So apparently they're both right. You have to have the klodos to get Yiras Shamayim and Moshe's speech to take it off, and the combination of that's the gido birada, that on one hand I know averis are so severe, on the other hand I know Hashem loves me so much and is going to accept my tshuva, and the combination allows a person to function. Okay, that's the first shmuz. Okay, unrelated, second shmuz, but on the same chazal. The question that we have is, Moshe is talking to here, these are Dordeya. Dordeya are, we believe, are basically the smartest generation that ever existed in the time of ever. Dordeya. This is Dordeya after 40 years in the Midbar. This is at the very end, right before they're about to go to Israel. This is the highest level of Dordeya. This is Doradea when they reached their peak. They spent 40 years in the Midbar, Nitna Torah and Ochleimon. Klai Yisrael, the highest Madrega. Klai Yisrael, it says in all the Sfarim, is Hashem kept Klai Yisrael in the Midbar 40 years to raise their level to the highest possible level, that they had no distractions. They ate the man. They learned Torah yet day and night, so they would reach the highest levels when they can go into Eretz Yisrael at the highest level. So that's what it says. So Nitna Torah da Ochleimon. And Torah was never given. It was the real generation that Torah was given to was people that had no distraction. They could eat the man. And that's why they're called Doradea. It's the most brilliant. They had saw Har Sinai, Gidol Shchina, Nisim Gluyim. So what did Moshe say to them? He said, Moshe said, Harbe Hechasen Umakom Venoasem Kliya. Hareyatem Kayam Nefanav. Didn't they know that? They could look in the mirror. They see they're there. They knew they did Averis. And they knew they're still alive. So they need Moshe. They need the brilliant Moshe Rabbeinu to say that. I could have said that also. It sounds pretty obvious. You know, yeah, we did Averis and we're still here. We know we did Averis and we know we're still here. So that's elementary. For that you need Moshe Rabbeinu. No one else in Klai Yisrael could have figured that out. So it sounds like, yes. No one else in Klai Yisrael could have figured that out. Which means that what we have here, a completely different shmooze, is something that we talked a great deal about, that one of the big chidushim of the Bavli Musar, and one of their main yesodis, is that you can focus on the exact same situation different ways. And different people focus, just like what the world says, is a cup half full or half empty. It's in everything. A person, how does it, the Rabbi Yisrael says, how does Moshe Rabbeinu become Adam Adam? Because he doesn't focus on his Midas, he focuses on his Chesreinus. A different person is about Gaiva because he focuses on his Midas and your Chesreinus. So everything in life is about focus. Two people look at the exact same situation. One person sees opportunity, one person sees depression. It's all how you focus. And what we see here is that Klai Yisrael, every single person in Klai Yisrael, except for Moshe Rabbeinu, even though they're Doradea, they focus on this situation somehow wrong. And they weren't focusing on the fact that they did Averis and they were Kayim. They were focusing on the Klonis. And what I assume the pshat is because there is a human tendency, which this is based on other chazals in many places, that there's a human tendency when you have two ways to focus, that people focus on the negative, on the negative side. There's a certain inherent teva in a human. Chazal say they bring a raya from other Marishan, that Adam Arishan was given this wonderful gift of Chava, and instead he complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, "Isha asher nasati imadi." So it's a medrash. Chazal say, you see that a human being, at the teva of Adam Arishan, was that he's a complainer. And that's and now you see people sit around, older people, they complain. Oh, my arthritis. What about the other good things in life? No. That people, somehow, there's a teva in a person to complain. So in this situation, there was a way. It's a valid Klai Yisrael's way of looking at it was valid. They focus on the Klodas, and the Klodas, if you focus on the Klodas, then their conclusion is correct. If you focus on the fact that we're still Kayamim, then it makes it seems to make an opposite conclusion. It's like a stira. There's a contradiction. So there's a contradiction, so it depends what you focus on. Which, when you have a contradiction, it all depends what you look at. It's a stira. So Moshe Rabbeinu is telling him, focus on the fact that Harbei Chasem, and you're still Kayamim. Their natural teva was to focus the other way. Apparently, I assume why. This it doesn't say. This is my own guess. But I'm assuming the Hezber is because their focus was more negative, was more, and Moshe's focus was more positive. And human nature is that people naturally focus negatively when it's the gloom. They always see the gloom rather than the Yeshua. So this is a completely different shmooze, the importance of training ourselves to always look for a different focus. In almost any situation, you can find two different focuses. Moshe Rabbeinu can be the greatest person in the world, and he can somehow focus that he's an Anav Mikol Adam. You can always find two focuses, and to be aware of the fact that we, in Teva, have a tendency to focus on the negative. And if we are chas v'shalom down, or things bother us, we should realize that it could very well be that we're not really down because we're not down because things are really so terrible. We're down because we're focusing wrong. We're focusing on the terribleness. We have the ability to change the focus and to see the good. Just to conclude, I said this many times, but I saw in a sefer that it said that. It's that Yisurim are compared to oil. And he says, why is Yisurim considered compared to oil? So it's in a Rishon, in a Sefer from a Rishon. He said, because oil floats on water. And it depends, it doesn't mix. So a person who has Yisurim and Simcha in life, the Yisurim and the Simcha don't mix. It's not shot that life is so-so. It's life is a certain amount Simcha, and it's a pure Simcha, and a certain amount of pure Yisurim. They don't mix. And therefore, he says, since they don't mix, he says it's up to the person what he wants to focus on. If you want to look at your Simcha, you'll be the happiest person in the world, because the Simcha is pure Simcha. If you want to look at the oil, and you know, you look at it from the top, you look down and from the oil, you'll just see oil. And you'll be the most depressed person in the world. Because it all depends on how a person focuses. And what we see here is that there's a tendency to naturally focus on the negative.